to have the mind of Christ, to be led by your Spirit, to be God-centered, Christ-focused, and Holy Spirit-led. May it be said of this church family, may it be said that they were known by their love and the leadership of your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A number of you have given me credit for lining up the war room. I didn't have anything to do with it. Your ministry assistant, who was standing to my left singing just a minute ago, she was really the instigator, convinced her pastor that we needed to do this. And I want to just say thank you publicly to Jeannie and to all of you that came Wednesday night. Were any of you not blessed? I tell you, I was laughing and I was crying. Laughing, crying, and shouting, as you heard me shout a few times. I shared with several people that asked me my thoughts. If 10% of this church is transformed by that movie, the impact in this community will be astronomical. Numerous of you commented to me how deeply you appreciated the church doing that. I said that I believe that it's some of the best money that we've spent since I've been your pastor. I think that the impact of that movie, Doug French was telling me this morning about what it's doing all over Facebook, how that it is changing. Roma and I had to sit home with Roma Thursday and take care of my little bride. She had an injection in her back, and we watched the 700 Club, and Priscilla Shira was interviewed on the 700 Club. She's written a book called Fervent. I would encourage you to go buy that book and read it. It is a book on prayer based on her prayer life. She is a minister, by the way, in case you didn't know. But she was sharing with Terry Musin on the 700 Club of the impact of that movie and how that she had to really ask God to help her with all of the varying emotions, all of the varying lines that she had to learn. She told the story of driving down the road one day with her husband, and he looked over at her, and she was just bawling and tears just running down her face. And he reached over and said, honey, what's wrong? She says, shh, I'm practicing my lines. But she said she learned a deeper appreciation for those, and she learned how to better pray for actors, and that actors might come to know Christ. I was kind of thankful in a way that I got to stay home and watch the 700 Club with Roma and hear that interview. Pull your pens out right now. I'm going to give you something, okay? This is not mine. This is Priscilla's. She has an acrostic that she uses on prayer, P-R-A-Y. And the acrostic, of course, P stands for praise. We know that God inhabits the praise of his people. We need to learn how to praise him in all things and for all things and at all times. And that's challenging for some of us. That's not easy for some of us. That's very difficult for some of us because we all go through different things, and sometimes we find ourselves in the deepest valley, in the deepest pit. And the last thing we feel like doing is praising God. In fact, we don't want to praise God. We even tell God sometimes we don't want to praise him. But she reminded Terry how that God desires, loves, wants the praise of his people. The second one was R, and of course, I'm sure you know what that is, repentance. God's people need to repent. You see, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said he would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And she believes, she stated it Thursday on 700 Club, she believes that God is offering America one other opportunity. And she believes that the war room is the tool that perhaps God is using to awaken us to the need to pray. Where is Gordon Jones? Is he counting money? What's he doing? Is Gordon in here? Gordon said something to me this morning when I came in the door. He said, Brother Johnny, he said, have you ever had anybody to tell you, I can't do this, I'm sorry, because I've got to spend 5 hours in prayer? I told him I was going to use that. I thought that was pretty profound, not coming from Gordon, but I thought that was pretty profound that God would put that on my heart this morning, you see, to share to you. You see, repentance. If I regard Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God cannot hear me. But that's not the only reason that God, for whatever reason, does not answer our prayers. James reminds us that sometimes we pray to consume them of our own lust as a result. And then, of course, the A, and the A is simply ask. God said ask. You ask to be saved. Ask and you shall receive. Remember last Sunday morning, I tried to drive that home with you. Ask and you shall receive. Every one of us who is saved this morning, blood washed, blood bought, born again, children of God, we ask God to save us. Did God save us? Well, yes, he did. Absolutely. God does not go back on his promise. God does not break his promises to us. We need to learn to stand on all of his promises to us, not just the promise of salvation. Unfortunately, many believers today, that's where their faith is. And listen, don't be offended by what I'm about to say. It's a very immature faith. It's a measure of faith. It's a tiny faith. Jesus said if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could do what? Speak to the mountain, it would be cast into yonder sea. And so we need to learn to ask God about everything, pray about everything. And then what do you think the why is? That blew me away. I couldn't see it on the screen on TV, but Roma said, get your computer and pull it up. So I reached over out of my bag, pulled up my computer, and I pulled it up and scanned it out. And guess what? I just told you. Yes. The Y stands for yes. Yes, God said to pray and to believe. And when we pray and believe, God will hear our prayers. And so we ask with that in mind. So let me quickly go over it again. Pray, praise. R, repentance. A, ask. Y, yes. Okay. On the back, on the vestibule area there, is a sheet that we handed out last Sunday morning. It's called The Emmaus Walk Presents 27 Scriptures to Reassure You that Your Prayers Are Answered. If you did not receive some last Sunday, they're on the table in the center and they're on the side over there. Pick one up as you leave today and take it home with you. We are going to be in this series a little bit longer. God won't turn me loose. So take your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 11. There will be several more messages coming on this series. Luke chapter 11, when you find Luke chapter 11, stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 11. This is the parallel passage. It is the only two places in Scripture, Matthew chapter 6. Beginning at verse 9, and here in Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, where we find what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, although it is really the disciples' prayer. It is not a prayer to be repeated, it is a prayer to be prayed. So I would encourage you in your prayer life that if you have problems in praying, if praying is difficult for you, you can pray this prayer. Jesus gave you this prayer. He gave us this prayer. It's a model that we might begin to develop and to grow in our prayer life. I'm sure that many of you as believers remember the prayer that your parents, if they were godly Christian parents, taught you how to pray as a child before you went to bed at night. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then you got to mention and everybody else in the family and the cat and the dog and everything else, the horse, the cow, the mule, the tractor, you know, that you wanted God to bless. But you mentioned all those things that were important to you as a child and that you could think of. Jesus is asked by the disciples who have observed John in his prayer life. And Jesus is, now this is John the Baptist, not John the Apostle. He has asked he has been asked by these disciples who are in his inner circle, particularly Peter, James, and John, but all of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. So we find that in Luke chapter 11, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, notice quickly with me, and I'll not start preaching here, but notice quickly with me, he was praying and he had a certain place. Does the devil know your prayer closet? One lady told me Wednesday night when we left, she said, I've already told my husband that he has to build me a prayer closet. That's good. That's real good. That tells you the impact. Does the devil know where your prayer closet's at? Is your prayer life of such, listen carefully, is your prayer life of such that is a threat to the enemy? It ought to be a threat to the enemy. It ought to make him uncomfortable when you go in your prayer closet. He ought to call out the forces of darkness because he knows that spiritual warfare is fixing to happen. And he knows, listen to me, he doesn't believe it, but he knows that he's defeated. He doesn't believe it, but he knows that he's defeated. And so he's going to do, listen to me, if he contended over the body of Moses, if he tried to hinder the prayer of Daniel, and we have the record of that in Daniel chapter 9 and on, who are you and I to think that he's not going to try to bring out all forces against us? Remember I told you he'll let you read the Bible? He'll let you study the Bible? He'll let you tithe? He'll let you attend church? He'll let you do all those good things. But when you go in that prayer closet, you are meaning business. And so he had a place. That won't cost you anything. That's free, okay? He had a place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say. Now, remember I told you I have a pet peeve. We don't repeat this prayer. We pray this prayer. It just crawls all over me. I've attended funerals. I've heard ministers say it. Would you repeat with me the Lord's Prayer? And it just gets under my skin, church. I can't stand it. It's a prayer to be prayed. It was a prayer that Jesus modeled. It was a prayer that Jesus taught. And it deserves our absolute commitment. It's not something to be taken lightly. Do you hear me? This way means yes, Pastor Johnny, I hear you. Okay? All right, let's read on. And he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew includes a benediction. For thine is the kingdom, say it with me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As I was preparing this message, I found a note from Franklin Graham. I shared it with Janie. Prayer is our essential lifeline to God's throne and heart. Now, most of us are old enough to remember Franklin Graham when Franklin Graham wasn't Franklin Graham. Most of us are old enough to remember when Franklin Graham was that prodigal child Do you think for 1 minute this morning that God had a plan for Franklin Graham? In fact, he was interviewed just recently, and the person that was interviewing said to him, "How does it make you feel to know now that God has raised you up in the place of your father for such a time as this?" If there's ever a day and ever a time we need to pray for a wayward America, a wayward nation, a wayward leadership, a wayward Supreme Court, if there was ever a time that we needed to pray for wayward people who are prodigals in this world, who know the truth, but who have rejected the truth, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to pray, and we need to pray today. Remember, it isn't as important what you say as it is who you say it to. Think about that for a minute. Worry about words? No. Perception of self? No. What others may think of your prayer life? Forget it. I don't know a football team that's ever won a football game or lost a football game that didn't practice. And practice, practice, practice. And yes, even medical science is practice. And yes, my daughter practices medicine, for she dispenses drugs recommended by the medical doctor. And we trust those things to help us in our physical conditions that we face every day. And thank God for medical science. And thank God for doctors. Thank God for nurses. And thank God for those that distribute those prescriptions for us. But listen to me. It is a practice that has developed across the years. My little Joni is looking at childbirth. Our little Joni is looking at childbirth. And Tim, very shortly, we're going to be grandparents, praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to all of a sudden get old. That's what they tell me grandparents are. They're old. I remember looking at grandparents in years gone by and thinking, boy, they are old. Well, I am one. I will be one shortly. But I want you to know this morning, we need to practice our prayer life just as we practice the things in our life every day that we live. We become better drivers. We become better husbands. We become better wives because we practice doing those things that we know that the Scripture teaches us, led by the Holy Spirit of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. So forget about what somebody thinks about how you pray. Start praying. Start praying. I remember when I took John out in the backyard. I remember when I first started practicing to him. I remember when his first word was not daddy, not mama. It was ball, ball, ball. He said it in the nursery at our former church. That was his first word, ball, ball, ball. And I shared with you last Sunday how God has blessed him and how those prayers across the years have been a holy hedge of divine protection around him and how we have pleaded and prayed the blood of Jesus over him. And I want to tell you, sometimes I prayed, listen to me, I prayed and I wondered, but I prayed. I didn't stop. I prayed. I kept on praying. I kept on praying when it didn't look like the answer was going to come. I kept on praying, God, you promised me you were going to raise up from my loins. You were going to raise up from my lineage. God, you promised me. God, you made that promise to me. You spoke it into my spirit and into my mind. And we watched our son try to do everything else. But let me tell you something this morning. Pray, practice. Practice, practice, practice. When your feelings feelings of insecurity, when you feel ineffective, when you're discouraged, when you're doubtful, when you're distracted, when you feel like your faith is imperfect, there's never a safe time to pray. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all are breathing right now? It's okay to pray anytime. It's okay to pray for that preacher to shorten his sermon so you can get out early and your steak doesn't burn. I don't think God will answer it, but But you can pray it. You can practice. The longer you practice, guess what you're going to do? You're going to discover His will and His purpose and His plan for your life. And you're going to get on board with His agenda. I'm telling you, last Tuesday morning, it about killed me in Roma to drive to the low country and bury our little Alvin. It about killed me. Unconditional love. I can still see them old big orange round eyes, and I can still see him laying up in her recliner. He took her recliner, and when I wouldn't pay him attention, he'd go over to her and get in her lap, and he would stay over there, and I would call him at least three times. Two times he would pout with me, and then the third time he would turn his head and look at me, and I'd say, come here. And boy, he'd jump out of Roma's lap and back cross her recliner into my lap. He would come. It about killed me last Tuesday morning. But you know what God did? God answered my prayer. You see, God knew that I couldn't stand to watch him suffer. God knew what it would do to me. And so God, in his providence and in his great will and his great purpose, he took him home. He didn't allow him to stay and to suffer. Sometimes God does heal in a way that we don't want him to, maybe. Remember, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. We are to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus and the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. Martin Luther is remembered for many things, his 95 theses in the Protestant Reformation. But he said, in seasons of busyness, I must consistently arise 3 hours before the daylight to pray. I read that, and I had to ask myself, is that a practice in your pastor's life? When you get my age, you wake up at night and you want to go back to sleep, and you can't go back to sleep. Some of you old enough to appreciate that. You young people better learn how to enjoy sleeping now. You can sleep all night through. God let me sleep all night through last night. I praise his holy name. I got a full night's rest last night. Boy, don't I look good this morning? I even feel good this morning. I'm telling you. I have learned to appreciate what it means to get a full night's rest, 7 hours of sleep. I've learned to appreciate that. Roma knows I didn't get up one time last night until the clock went off and said it was time to get up. But many times in the night, God has woken me at 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning and would not allow me to go back to sleep. And he would put person after person after person and condition and situation after situation on my heart and on my mind. And I would find myself crying out to him, oh God, please intervene that your great will and your great purpose may be accomplished in this person's life. George Mueller, by the way, it is Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. I'm Muller, Duller, just remember dull preaching and you'll be okay if you don't know how to pronounce it. There is a difference, two different names. George Mueller fed an entire orphanage, read his book on prayer, fed an entire orphanage. Many times they would set the table, the places would be set, there would be not a crumb of food in the orphanage, and they would begin to pray and praise God and thank God for the provisions that they had and how he had blessed them and how he had provided for them, and the knock would come at the door. And they would finish praying and go to the door, and the person who had come and dropped the provisions off would have been gone, but there the meal would be. Give us this day our daily bread. Is the God who fed the children of Israel with manna from heaven every morning and with quail also, is he not able to provide for your need and my need today through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Yet he tells us to ask, when you pray. Daniel focused his prayer upon his God. Slide number two. Let's go to slide. Pray in Jesus' name. Next slide. I'm way ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Roll it on. That's the end of the sermon.
Hey, your prayers was answered. Amen. Amen. Okay. That's pretty good. Matthew 6:7 says, when you pray, don't babble like the idolatrous, since they imagine they will be heard for their many words. You don't have to pray a prayer this long. Sometimes it's just simply, God, help me. Sometimes it's just simply, God. Jesus said, don't focus on the word you pray, but focus on the one you're praying to, our Father. We're going to come back and we're going to spend a lot of time on this prayer. So this morning we're going to rush through it. You see, our Father, He is our Father. He's our daddy. He always has our best interest at heart. He never makes a mistake. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. And He's immutable. He never changes. And His word and His promises to us, church, they never, never change. They're unconditional. They're made on the basis of His love to us, not our love for Him. They're made based on what He has promised He will do. The psalmist said in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of His benefits. Who healeth all thy diseases and who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Bless Him. Bless Him. My favorite psalm, Psalms 121. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. As the hart, Psalms 42 and verse 1, pants after the water brook, the deer, so pants my soul after you, O God. Do you have a passion today to pray? And when you pray, does that passion lead you into the presence of Almighty God, where you can say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then you can say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. Heard a sermon recently on that one verse, lead us not into temptation. I can't wait not to preach that sermon, but I can't wait to preach that to you and share that with you, because it was eye-opening to me. Jeremiah 29:11-14, he says, I know the thoughts that I have, and I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will turn away your captivity. That's battle praying. Do you understand this morning that whatever we are led captive by, Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection on Calvary's cross, sets you and I free. Now, it's not an automatic thing, just like salvation is not an automatic thing. There must be conditions met, just like there must be conditions met for salvation. I must remember and agree with God that I'm a lost person. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I must be willing to believe that Christ died on the cross for me. I must be willing to believe that He died just for me. And then I must be willing to confess Him as my Lord and my Savior, because He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 and 31 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, boldness. You know, it's amazing. Football season has started, and I'm a football fan. Joni played in the band, and John played football, and we grew up as a as a football family, and we enjoyed it so much. We traveled all up and down the East Coast when John was playing college ball to watch him play and to be with him and to support him. And you know, it didn't bother me a bit in the world to just be bold. I didn't care who was sitting by me if my son threw a touchdown. I wanted them to know that was my son. You know, I kind of believe that God's somewhat like that. I believe, listen to me, I believe just as I, as a father, am proud of my children, and parents, you ought to be. They're a gift from God. And God gave them to you for divine purpose. He has a divine plan for their lives. There are no accidents in God's economy. None. And I believe that God stands up when you and I become bold. When our prayer life becomes bold, church, to the point that we begin to take God at His word and what He has said and what He has promised to us. I actually don't have but 2 points on this sermon. Next point. Or was that the last one? Jesus gave us permission to focus on our needs with simplicity and great humility. Father, if it be possible. You remember that prayer? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, listen carefully, Philippians 4:13. I can do a few things. All things. Now, do we believe that? Do we believe that the God that lives in us is the God that created everything that we can, that the Hubble telescope is still discovering for us, that His Word tells us about? Listen to me this morning. Listen to me. God is not just the God of earth. God is the God of the entire universe. The God who created everything this morning, church, is the God that lives inside of me. The moment that I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God who spoke it all into existence comes to live in me. Unworthy as I am. And boy, sometimes I feel like trash. And the devil tells me I am trash. And then all of a sudden I realize that God is living inside of me. Then Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16, but my God will what? Supply all your needs through Jesus Christ. How many? All. Not some, not a few. All your needs. My God will take care of you. All your needs. Sometimes we say, God, where are you? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2 reminds us to be not rash with our mouth. Be careful what we say. Be careful what you pray for. God just might give it to you and it might not be the best thing for you. Or me either. The prayer reference is the Lord's Prayer is really a prayer that has the potential, listen carefully, of bringing the God of this universe and His purpose and His will and His plan into my life each and every day that I wake up and that I live. That prayer, Jesus didn't give them another model. He said, boys, this is it. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it. Practice it. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. And it's a tough discipline. And when you set your mind to pray, the enemy's going to do everything he can to distract you. Roma and I, when we leave on Sunday mornings to come over here, we always engage in prayer together while we're riding in the car. Remember, she's riding with me, so that was a good reason to pray. Amen. But this morning we got out of the yard. We backed out the yard and we was headed down the road a ways, and she was praying up a storm already. And in the middle of that prayer, she stopped. And I thought, what's going on here? She said, I forgot my cell phone. We turned around, we ran back to the house, and I ran in the house and I got a cell phone, backed out the yard, and we started up again. I want to ask you a question. How important is prayer to you this morning? I'm not trying to embarrass your baby, but I thought it was so cute. I thought it was so cute. I mean, while she's praying, you see, God's bringing things to her remembrance. God's speaking while she's praying. I know all of you, when you see me coming down the road, you're praying too. Every time I feel like Leon and Jared need to get prayed up, I put them in the front seat with me. The greater the purpose of prayer is to always bring glory and honor to the Father. It helps me align my heart with His. It helps me align my life with His heart. It helps me align my life with who He is and what He's about and His purpose and His plan and His mission in and through me to bring the greatest glory unto Himself. Our inadequacies with His sufficiency. Our desires with His perfect will, our deeper understanding that He is working all things together for my good and for His great glory. When I understand His great grace, listen carefully, look up here, don't miss what I'm about to say. This is powerful. When we understand His great grace, it puts us in the mindset that we can totally rest in knowing that He always has our best interests at His heart. Always. Grace, grace, marvelous grace, undeserving, unmerited, grace that is greater than all of our sin. And oh, when we begin to pray, we begin to understand that grace, and we begin, our hearts begin to just melt within us. And we understand that God, listen to me, God's not looking at that sin thought or what it was that just slipped through my life just a few seconds or a few minutes or a few hours before. God is looking at the purpose that He created me for and the potential that He has placed in you and in me. God is looking at my end and not my past. Because my past is under the blood. And so is yours. And so when the accuser of the brethren comes around, pray, church. Pray. 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 Pray bold prayers. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray. Pray. Gordon, I told them what you told me this morning. I don't know if I exactly told it like you said. But when he asked me that question, I thought, I've never had anybody say to me, preacher, I need to pray about 5 hours. Or I'm spending too much time in prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we're learning. We are learning. Some of us are on a different learning curve than others. Some of us are not perhaps picking up on all that you want us to gather together in our prayer life. But God, we're on a learning curve. And I know that you're patient with us. I know that you're long-suffering. I know that you're compassionate. I know that you're not willing that we fail. And sometimes, Father, we all feel so inadequate. We feel so insufficient. We feel devastated. We feel defeated. We feel discouraged. And sometimes we feel like saying, and we do say it even sometimes verbally, but we say it a lot of times under the silence of our lips. We say, what's the use in praying? It's not going to change anything. But Father, you've told us to pray. You've taught us how to pray. You've provided a perfect model, a perfect plan. You've demonstrated that through your Son, your only begotten Son, the Holy Spirit. Grow us, Father, in this area in our life until it does make the enemy uncomfortable when we get on our knees. Grow us, Father, and discipline us to the point, Father, that we become prayer warriors, knowing that every day that we live, we're living in spiritual warfare, whether we understand it, whether we believe it, whether we recognize it or not. Satan has no use for us. He came but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy. But you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Father, I pray this morning there's one here today that has never given their heart to Jesus Christ. They've never trusted Him as their Lord and Savior. I pray right now they'll simply say, Lord Jesus, I agree with You that I'm lost. I cannot save myself. I believe that Your Son, Jesus Christ, shed His precious blood and paid for my sins on Calvary's cross. I now call upon Him and confess Him as my Lord and my Savior. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul and forgiving me of my sins. Father, maybe there's someone here today that just needs to come at this altar and just bear their heart, bear their soul to You. Maybe there's someone that needs to come and be a part of this family, the family that meets regularly here at Dutch Fork. God, I just pray today that You'll speak to their heart. I pray that no one will leave this place without making the decision, the commitment, that Your Holy Spirit is impressing on their heart right now. None of us know, none of us are promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Father, I do pray in Jesus' name. And for His great glory, I ask it. Amen.